God's word, and we love to equip one another to be able to go out and do the ministry that God's asked us to do. And we love getting together, fellowshipping, and seeing one another and being able to minister to each other. But we can't forget that where two or more are gathered together in His name, He's in the presence of us. We come here to join together as a family to meet with our God, not just with one another. And I think sometimes we lose track of that because we get so busy on the things we want to do. And there's nothing wrong with those things, teaching, you know, the kids downstairs and Olympians and doing our ushering and, you know, sound system and all the things we want to do. We can't forget the reason we're here is to meet with our God, because He said He would be in our presence. That's why I ought to be here. So when Doc comes up here and tries to get a little bit of excitement out of us,
like me,
I was going to say the words out loud, I appreciate that, but okay, yeah, that we ought to be excited because we're coming together, and when we get together as God's people, God shows up. Amen. And then we should have some excitement about that. With that in mind, that's where this chapter in 2 Chronicles goes. So this is going to be a sermonette. Okay, yes. And then we're going to sing some more songs and take some testimonies about our God this morning, because He deserves it. Amen? So read with me, if you would. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made... I'm going to take these glasses off so I can see. Made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures in the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant to the Lord, of the Lord, out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled together unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for the multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark, and the staves thereof above. And they drew out the staves of the ark. At the ends of the staves were seen from the ark before the oracle, but they were not seen without. And there it is unto this day. There was nothing in the ark save the two tablets which Moses had put therein at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were singers, all of them of Asaph and Heman and Judithun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar with them, and 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking of the Lord, that they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised God, and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand and minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word and what it teaches us. Father, I thank you for this amazing picture. Lord, we're on Wednesday nights, you know, we're studying Haggai. In the end of the book of Haggai, Haggai asks the children of Israel, those who were around to see that first temple, and compared the first temple with the rebuilt temple and the sorrow and the heavy-heartedness, because it never really compared to this temple that we are reading about right now. Father, I thank you for the temple finally being finished, all the things that David had done to prepare, all the instructions that Solomon had, and Father, you had allowed your house to be built in the glory. And we see here in this passage, Father, finally the Ark of the Covenant is brought up into its place and set there. And what an amazing service this was. But Father, we can learn some amazing things here about our worship, our praise, and our song. So Father, help us as we look to this just briefly to remember the opportunity we have to glorify our God when he is in our presence. Father, thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians, we know the verses, 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You and I are God's temple now. He doesn't need a physical building anymore. After what the Lord Jesus Christ, he has come to take permanent residence in you and me. But with that in mind, when we read this passage that has to do with the dedication and preparation and finally God's entering into the temple, that ought to make you and I think of some amazing things about our own lives. Because God at one point, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, and you've accepted him, he entered your temple and has taken up permanent residence. So there's some things that's happened here, and we're going to just hit them briefly. I'm going to hit these things hard and move on. Notice, you're going to understand, especially guys on Wednesday night when we get to Haggai, there's a temple that's not made with hands. That even though this temple showed some glory, got nothing to compare with the temple that we're looking forward to seeing someday. So even though we saw a glorious Old Testament temple and we're the temple of God now, there's still one more place where God himself dwells in his holy place. Okay, we're seeing that coming. So just keep that in mind. But God took up permanent residence. Now, did you notice that they said they brought the tabernacle and all the things that were in the tabernacle? Remember what the tabernacle was, right? Tabernacle was that tent, that traveling house of God that went all over the place. It was never permanent. There's an amazing picture here that the tabernacle, which is temporary, not turns into the temple, which is permanent. God says we are his temple. Remember, this is some amazing stuff here, that what we do and what we have is not a temporary residence. When God forgives you of your sin and Jesus Christ is accepted by you as Savior, he takes up permanent residence in you. It's not temporary, it's permanent. Notice all the people gathered. Did you catch it when we were reading it? Let me just list off the people. The king, the heads, the chiefs, the elders, the Levites, the priests, and all the congregation. Why are you and I here? To glorify God, amen? We meet together because that's what God's people do. Now, I had a second point. Now, I won't preach this. I'm just going to bait you with it. We are here to glorify God. What is our responsibility to each other when we come together? Edify, build up, right? Love one another, good. How about ones we don't generally talk about? Provoke one another unto love and good works. How about call somebody on the carpet when they're not necessarily doing what's right? Now, I want to, I'm just putting this out as a commercial. We'll make this a 2 minutes, 2 second commercial, right? There are some folks who will not come to church because they'll say, the people at church are so judgmental. Exactly. And don't you dare try to tell me that's wrong. If you're living a life of miserable sin and you come into God's house with God's people, don't you think somebody in God's house and God's family should call you and say, what you're doing, not right by the book. Am I the only one that thinks that's not what God's word says? When it says, provoke one another unto love and unto good works, when it says that if a man be overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, restore what you won, that we're supposed to bear ye one another's burdens, how are you going to know my burden you need to bear if you don't understand my life and see me and judge me? Now, I'm just putting this out there because I know some Christians. Oh, I go to church, but they're so judgmental. Hello? When you, most of you have raised children, seen children raised, or been a child. I know some of you were grown up the moment you, no. As a family, we look at those in our family and help each other to become better, right? One of my examples, why this always pops into my head, and my parents never made me do this, but making the bed. If you know your child struggles with that, what do? Say, oh, don't worry about it, Junior. I know that's one of the house rules, but just because that's not one of the important things to you, we'll let it slide. Is that what you did? No. You said, you're having a problem with this. We're going to make sure you don't have a problem with it. My commercial's almost done. Please, 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 don't let anybody tell you, and don't fall into this trap that's out there in the world, that when you come into God's house, that sometimes you may feel that you need to fix something in your life. Because isn't this exactly the place for that? Isn't it? I'm getting one nod. Wait, maybe this morning you came with something you need to fix and you're not ready to? Is that what the problem is? Good, then nod at me. Everybody nod. Okay, good. Sometimes we're going to come here and somebody might just walk up to you and say, you know, last couple of times I've talked to you, there's been some profanity that's come out of your mouth, and that's not a good testimony. Don't you dare walk away and say, well, they shouldn't judge me like that. No, this is exactly the place that we should be encouraging one another to be good, isn't it? Bingo. Aren't we accountability partners? Iron sharpeneth iron. I'm just saying that because there's a winds of change in Christianity in our country that makes it seem like you shouldn't go to church and have somebody look at your life and point out things that could be better. I thought that's what we were supposed to do because I'm supposed to be more like Christ. Aren't you supposed to be more like Christ? So sometimes you might have to go, hey, Brother Craig, can I talk to you for a minute? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
I don't want to go back to that church because all they do is tell you things that are wrong with you.
Well, if that's all they do, then we got a problem. But don't be surprised if once in a while somebody might nudge you and say, you know, the Word of God says a foul language like that ought not to come out of our mouth.
I want to go to church that makes me happy.
I'm just telling you. There are churches that are circulating that are on that mode. Please don't tell me what's wrong. All we want to do is have a happy get-together party, and we don't want to deal with anything that's serious. Right? Anyway, that wound up being more like a four-minute commercial. We come together in God's house to glorify Him. That's what should happen in this temple. Now, that's what we do when we get here. Where is the temple? Right here, right? So, if I'm glorifying God in the temple, that means everywhere I go, I'm glorifying God, right? Amen. Not just here on Sunday morning. I'm dragging the temple everywhere. I am the temple, man. Okay? I'm got lots of rooms in this temple. Okay? Where are God's temple? Now listen. Because of that, the ark was brought in. Now what is the ark? It is actually called the Ark of the Covenant or the Ark of the Testimony. Okay? We are supposed to contain God's testimony. Right? Now, I like this, and I thought of Paulette when I read this several times, and you'll understand why. Paulette teaches the kids downstairs, and an issue had come up 6 months ago, maybe a little more, about what exactly is in the Ark of the Covenant. Okay? And there are three things that have been in the Ark of the Covenant, right? Aaron's rod that budded, a pot of manna, and the stone tablets, according to the Word of God. But God does something very interesting in this passage, and this is why I thought of you. It says there was only one thing in the Ark of the Covenant right now. Did you see what it was? Verse 10. No, there was nothing in the Ark save the two tablets which Moses brought. At this point, God makes it clear that he wants to point out only one of those things that are in there, and that is his word. Now, I want you to build this with me real quick. We're his temple, right? In the temple should be his testimony. And that testimony is focused on one thing. The word of God. His word. If his word is not within you, if that thing that is placed in you by God isn't carrying the word of God, and that's the focus, we got a problem. Because that's what this is about. Now, I agree. Aaron's bud, a rod that budded, and the pot of manna. Yes, all three. Don't miss that. That's a trivia, Bible trivia thing for you later on. But in this point in time, God made it clear to point out to us that the thing that was important about the Ark of the Covenant is because it contained the Word of God. Don't miss that. This is his temple, right? We get together, and we should have a testimony that's focused on his word. How many Christians that you know that call themselves Christians, you can't judge them if they actually call themselves that, but you know their life isn't focused around God's word. I know a lot of folks that read tons of other things besides God's word. They read commentaries, they'll read internet stuff about the Bible. How about reading God's word? That's where the focus needs to be, guys. There's a lot of other things you can talk about. And right here, there's two things, other things, Aaron's rod and the pot of manna that could have been focused on by God, but he made it clear that the Word of God was what he wanted the focus to be on. Did you see something else that happened? So they get the temples blessed, they're bringing in the Ark of the Covenant, they were all gathered together in the presence of God, and they offered sacrifices too many to number. You catch that? It said sheep and oxen, that there were so many that they couldn't even number how many there were. Now, I love that. We could go ahead and preach a whole sermon here about the blood that had to be shed. And you want to talk about a bloody place? You ever seen guys who are hunters or been with hunters, when you kill one animal, how much blood can come out of it? Imagine so many animals, you can't even tell how many there are, how much blood there is. Whole nother sermon, but blood is shed. Blood is shed. That is always the answer. But, do you and I offer sacrifices today? Now, we don't offer animal sacrifices anymore. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. We don't have a bloody spot here. But Hebrews chapter, I'll just read it. You don't have to go there. I'm telling you, we're on high gear mode here today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Listen to this. By him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice. This tells us there's a sacrifice we ought to offer. What does it say? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. You want to know the sacrifice that you and I get to offer every day? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. You grateful of things that happen in your life? Do you say that you're thankful and grateful? Do you say that you are thankful and grateful in the name of Jesus or God himself? See, there's the difference. A lot of us in this world, Christians especially, will declare how thankful or grateful or how wonderful things are, but we need to do it in his name. Somebody give you an extra blessing somewhere. He says, you know what? That's great. I'm so grateful for what God has just done through you. Try that. Make somebody look at you queer. Right? They give you something and our response will be, why, thank you. How about, wow, thank God for what you just did for me. Fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. We can be a very grateful people, but shouldn't we be grateful to the one who's really providing all these things? That's a sacrifice. Now listen, we're still talking about this temple that continually I can be giving the sacrifice without number. When's the last time we had a testimony time where we offered praises to God and we had so many of them that you couldn't even number how many we had? I don't want to lay a guilt trip out, but sometimes, like on the second Sunday now, we're doing our praise and prayer time and during Sunday school. And we say, anybody got some things they want to praise God for? Anybody got something they want to praise God? This is a, you know, and maybe one or two. Boy, what a great day it would be if we could sit down and say, okay, listen, we don't have time for any more. Because there's so many of them, they couldn't be numbered. The sacrifices here were so many that they couldn't even count. The sacrifice of praise. Get our lips giving thanks unto his name. Think about that. Now, next one. I'm going through this quickly. Throws out a word here that we don't use a lot biblically. The word oracle. Did you see that? Basically, an oracle means a special place that's prepared for something important. That's about as clear as mud. Okay, cultural things like that. It's used in movies and books and all kinds of fantasy stuff about an oracle, that people can be an oracle like they're a soothsayer. You know, that is not what we're talking about. When the Bible says that this was an oracle, it means it was a place designed specifically for the presence of God. Period. How many times have you and I said that every person in this world has a God-shaped hole in their heart that only one thing can fill? Remember, in this temple, there was a place, a special place. God the Creator designed in each man, each woman, the oracle, that place that only God can fill. That's what that word oracle means. Now take all this into consideration, because I want you to look at the response. Now, they got together, they had the word of God in his testimony, they understood the importance of the sacrifices that were offered, too many to be numbered. They were a place in which, in that holy place, that special place in your heart and my heart. Dan said this morning, was talking about the fact that, remember how bad it was when we were just bogged down and chained and trapped by our sins, and the Lord Jesus Christ came and freed us from that. Now granted, we're still waiting for complete redemption when these old bodies are gone, but we no longer are bound in our sin, that God came and freed us from that. This is what we're talking about. He made a special place in us, and he takes up permanent residence in my heart. How many times do we teach our little kids, man? You need to ask Jesus into your heart. There's a special place in your and my life, in every single person that's born on this earth, that only God can fill. Don't miss that. So all this stuff has happened. Now we get to verse 11. And verse 11 says that they all got together, prepped for the music. Notice it gives this idea of no respecter of persons. Please don't miss that. Verse 11, at the end of it, it says, and did not then wait by course. basically, there was a lot of rules and regulations about when the priest could do this and who priest and what Levites and how they went and where they stood and what all they did. When they brought this Ark of the Covenant into this special place and put it where it belonged, none of that importance mattered. The importance was upon God himself. Now please listen to me. I love you. And this is strange because I love the fact that the pastorate gets respect because it's a leadership position. But no person is ever any better than anyone else. Ever. There's respect for position, but not for person. And God here, you can go back and read through the Levitical law and all the stuff in which the priests and the Levites and all the respect and everything that they had to do. God said, right now, the only thing that's important is God's presence is in the holy place. Don't worry about all that, who's got what job to do and who's doing whatever and what order they're in. He said, the stuff, they weren't even worried about how they were doing this by course because this was all about God. Number two, they prepared the music. Did you catch it? When it came to pass, the priest came out of the holy place, and verse 12, and the Levites that were singers, all of them being robed in white linen, having the cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east altar, 120, sounding the trumpets. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one. You want to know why we sing corporate music together? This is one of the reasons why. You know, I love solos, that come up here and share their heart. But when God's people stand as one before God, something special happens. They got together, they planned this, they got everything lined up, and they sang their music together as one. All of a sudden, something amazing happened. Something that we started out this little sermonette with. God showed up. Now, I don't know about you. We haven't seen it in thousands of years. But what would happen if we got to glorifying God so much that a cloud filled this room? And the glory of God showed up. Now again, I'm not waiting for that. God doesn't work that way anymore. We understand that. But visually, God did a lot of things because they did not have this concrete word that we do. So God did a lot of things in display to prove his power. But it was so awesome that the leadership couldn't even stand up and do any preaching, any ministering, or anything that they were supposed to do in the temple that day. They just fell on their faces and praised and worshiped God because he showed up. Guys, I need you to ask your forgiveness. There are so many times that I'm focusing on teaching you God's word and sharing it from my heart that I'll neglect to remember that we need to have God show up. I mean, it's a job that he's asked me to do, to take us through the word of God and instruct. But our focus can't only be, how are we going to help each other learn this book and be better? We have to remember, our goal always is to stand in the presence of our God. Whether it's here on a Sunday morning, a Tuesday afternoon, a Thursday night, in this temple, I want God's presence. How about you? As a matter of fact, this last verse, it says, the Lord had filled the house of God. How many times in the New Testament does Paul and Peter say, be filled with the Spirit? If we would do that, if you are filled, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Where our lives would walk differently if we weren't in the flesh, but we were filled with God's Spirit. Well, here God's displaying a very step-by-step way to remember how to bring God's filling into this house. Don't don't forget that. Now, please, I didn't all of a sudden take a Pentecostal pill today, okay, and getting all fruity on you. No offense to some of my Pentecostal friends, but sometimes we'll overdo the filling and, oh, I got to feel this and I got to, you know. No. Did you see what the focus on the inside was? The Word of God. But doesn't it say in Ephesians, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? One of the fruit of the Word of God dwelling in you richly is the praise of God through music and song, and the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name. I had a great conversation in Appert, and he's not even here. I can't smile with him because he's got a class today. But he was explaining a little bit of the difference that he sees when he comes to New England. We talked about the fact that sometimes in the African culture, when you're praising God, there's a little dance that goes with it. Isn't that right? Because we're not afraid to show a little enthusiasm, eh, Doc? Right. Amen. That you get up to New England, and we're not just the Granite Staters, we're the Granite Everything. Praise God. Hallelujah. That I told Apper that every once in a while, it's good to get out the hanky and wave it. Woo! Folks, we need to remember our goal is to have God's filling in our lives. So with that in mind, we're going to spend the next few minutes singing some songs and taking some praises. The Bible says a sacrifice that you and I can offer is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. Wouldn't it be great today to have to say, well, guys, it's 12 o'clock. We have to stop the praises. I know you got a lot more you can give God glory for, but we want to go eat. What a joy it would be to have so many praises that we couldn't even number them. I love you, and we want to be so diligent in this book, and we strive for that here. But please, don't make our studies and our preparation of our own selves push the fact that we need God every moment. We need His presence. We need His filling. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much. Lord, You did not only give us Your Word. I am so thankful for that, Lord. Without it, we would be in big trouble. We'd be just wandering aimlessly. But Father, that's not all You gave us. Father, the fact that we have forgiveness of sins, the fact that we have a Savior, the fact that we have a Word, the Word of God, is so that we can be in right standing with our Heavenly Father. Lord, the theme of this world, the theme of Your book is not salvation. It is the kingdom of God. We are members of an amazing kingdom whose King, someday we're going to see, and the whole world will bow, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But until then, Lord, it's not about us, it's about You. So, Father, as we're prepping, as we're studying, as we're witnessing, as we're out in this world doing that what we need to do, Father, please let us remember that we need to be glorifying and lifting up You, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto Your name. And, Father, that we would do it in a way that people can't help but notice who's on the throne in our lives. We are Your temple. Lord, please fill us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's sing some songs and give some praises to God. So what we're